open our Bibles. Amen. Go to 1 John. 1 John chapter 2. We'll begin reading at verse 18, two verses there. Amen. Little children, it is the last time, and as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. They went out from us, but they were not of us, or if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. And then we want to go to 1 John chapter 4, verse 1 through 3. Short reading of scriptures this morning. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come. And even now, already, is it in the world. And let's just pray. Lord, as we come to this portion of the service, we just want to commit it into your hands, Lord, and ask God that you break the bread of life, just like you did so many times in the Bible, just like you did to the two that were going to Emmaus with you, Lord, as you walked with them. We pray, God, that you'd break the bread, that they would be able, each one of us, to see that it's you, Lord. We love you, and we just commit this time in your hands. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated if you want to. Man, I don't know what I'd do if everybody just stood through the whole service, but anyway. We're entitled this today, The Bride's Greatest Test. Amen. You know, God is obligated to his word. He's not obligated to my word. Aren't you glad? He's not obligated to anybody else's word, but he is obligated to his word. And he's not obligated to my interpretation of his word or your interpretation of his word. Right. But he is obligated to his word and to his interpretation of it, especially interpreting it as he brings it to pass. And so we are thankful for that. So what we really want is we just want revelation from God on his word, because that's the only thing that we can take. And the scripture says the gates of hell could not prevail against it. And so we're thankful for his word. And you know, his word says that the elect cannot be deceived. Amen? I'm glad for that. Mm-hmm. You know, we've come so far in Satan's Eden, has advanced so far now. It's just like what he wanted. Like I said, the prophet come along, he titled it Satan's Eden. And so it's so advanced now that in the way things are now, that just a traditional church experience and the experience even we had in Pentecost is, in my opinion, is not sufficient to fight the enemy in this hour. And so, but I am so glad that God's word had everything covered. He's got it all covered, and he's revealing it to us. And so we now are convinced to know that he has an elect people. And it's a work that he's done, and that elect people cannot be deceived. And we are thankful for that. And so Brother Branham tells us in the message where it's called the mark of the beast and the seal of God. And he's quoting or saying, Jesus said in the last days that the two spirits would be so close that it would deceive the very elect if it was possible. But it isn't. Right. That's what he said. But it isn't. They'll never do it. Right? So God's elect people will never be deceived. And so you realize that can't just be because, well, we're just gonna try harder ourselves. But what you understand there is God has said, I'm going to have a bride. I'm going to provide her to myself. This is something he's done. And the scripture tells us that he that has begun the good work in us, he will perform it until the day of the Lord Jesus. So I'm confident that the one that called me one day and told me to stop the nonsense that I was doing, and I was doing nonsense, my wife can tell you, so you're shaking her head. That same voice that stopped me from doing that and started that work in me will finish what he wants to do in me. And it's the same way with you. He will finish what he starts with you. And so, even if you don't realize it, I look back now and I know that God was dealing with me and touched my life. I had things going on in my life when I wasn't even aware. Just wasn't even thinking about him. That's what the scripture said, that when we weren't even thinking about him, and during that time, he died for us. How thankful we are for that. And so, we know that the elect cannot be deceived. Jesus said, my sheep know my voice, and another they will not follow. If that's not predestination, I don't know. Yeah. I don't know what it is. You know, it's like we've talked in the past, and I think Brother Brandon mentioned this too, that, you know, these pictures where you have like a scene and in there something is embedded in there. And say, well, there's a horse in there somewhere. And you'll look and look and look. And how many's ever seen those kinds of things? Maybe the little ones have seen that. And you're looking at a picture and they're telling you there's something hidden in there. There's a horse in there or whatever it is. And you look and look and you're like, I just don't see it. But once you see it, once you see that horse in there, well, then every time you look at it, well, there it is. And you tell everybody, can't you see that? And they're like, no, I don't see it. It's right there. Can't you see it? And that's the way this revelation is. That's the way this word is. That's the way God, once he deals with you, begins to show you something, and it's so clear and it's so plain, and it's like, there it is. It's all over the Bible. And other people's like, I don't see it. Well, once they come to that revelation, then they know, hey, it's true. And they do the same thing that we do. We try to tell people, they just, well, I just don't get it. Amen. And so his sheep knows his voice. They will not follow another. So, you know, I mentioned the other day about us being the offspring of God. If we believe that we are the offspring of God, then we must believe that God is in charge. Right? God is in charge as our Heavenly Father. You know, we're made in his image, and so he gives us responsibilities for our children, and we realize that God, if we're his children, then we must believe he is watching over us as his children, and he is involved in our lives to make us come to the place that he would want us to be. Any parent that loves their children will be involved and be trying to move them in the direction that parent would desire through their love for that child to be, or that grandchild. We'll throw that one in there this morning. Amen. And so he being our father, he certainly would be in charge. And so he would be in charge of our teaching. Remember in the Bible about the tutors, God would have a tutor. In the process of adoption, a dad would have a tutor that would be teaching the children. And Brother Bam brings that out, how that's the Holy Spirit would tutor us and bring us to the place and bring a report back to the Father and how we're doing. So God is responsible and involved in the teaching us. He's involved in every aspect of our life, right, to bring us to the place that he wants us. So he's involved in our teaching. He's involved in our growing and our maturing and coming to that place of adoption, or that place of placing as sons or daughters of God, placing them in authority. And so, you know, we spiritually, we're just like in the natural, you know, that a child becomes a teenager, they begin to develop fully in the direction of being fully developed as an adult in their body, but maybe their mind's not caught up. And they think, well, I have the ability to go and handle these things, and they don't. And sometimes they get control of things that they don't have the power to control, and they go out and they wreck up and they do all kinds of crazy stuff because they didn't have the maturity level to match. And we're the same way. We get to the place, well, I'm a Christian. I'm ready for God to give me the authority to do this and to do that. And he knows. He knows if we're not ready, right? So he'll hold back and say, no, you can't have the keys to the car yet, right? Because he knows. But he's involved in every aspect of our life to get us to that place. And so once we understand that, you know, we got to come to this place where we know God's word is right. And I don't care what I feel. like that song, the word of God is working mightily in me, no matter what I feel or see, right? We have to come to a place where I don't care what I feel, what I see. I'm a child of God, and God has his hand on my life. And I may not understand what I'm going through. You may not understand what you're going through, but you come to a place to realize, you know what? I've given it to him. I know I belong to him. And so that you come to this place of security. Not that you feel like nothing's ever going to go wrong or something like that, or you're going to go through something you don't understand, but you come to the place where, you know what? God is my Father, and I know he's got his hand on me, and I'm going to come to a good place, because that's where he's taking me. This is greater than me. It has to do with who my Father is, and so we know that, and so we're glad to know that. So once you come to that place, you realize that no matter what day you live in, no matter what condition you live in, you as God's children, you're going to come through. You're going to come through. God's going to make sure you get through. And when I say come through, you'll come through. God will be showing his traits, his characteristics to you because you're his child. We have to believe this and understand that being a Christian means that as we go through things that maybe the rest of the world goes through, we'll act differently than they do because God's got his hand on us. So we have to understand that, and we have to believe that and expect that and long for that. That's the desire of a Christian is that we long to see God manifested in our life. We long to be able to express ourselves in the way that God would want and not like the world would want. That's a characteristic. Listen, as Christians, I know people that, you know, they go to church every Sunday, but they have no struggle in their life. They don't, doctrine means nothing to them. They're not going to get into any conversation about, they just, you know, everything's fine. And you know that as Christians, real Christians have a struggle going on because they're fighting a war. And that's the way it is. And so like Brother Ryan, I know most of you don't know him back in Pentecost, but Sister Mary knows him. Knew him, he's gone on. But he would say, he'd say, if the devil's not fighting you, it's because you're on his side.
Right.
And that's the truth.
Yeah.
Right? And so we know as Christians that we go through things, and our desire is that we would express him in all that. We know that God loves to test his children, test his people. And so Brother Branham tells us in a sermon called Jehovah Jireh, how God loves to test his people. Every child that comes to God must be tested. Child trained, no exceptions. Brother Brown says, no exceptions. Everyone. Mm-hmm. He says, maybe tonight that you are sick or just to have a little child training. Maybe you're sick just to have a little child training going on in your life, is what he's telling us, see? Just a little child training. Just a little testing. He said, don't be discouraged. God's on the throne. He knows all things. Yeah. I mean, believe that.
Yeah.
He knows all things. And if we're truly born of the Spirit of God, everything's working together for our good.
Yeah.
Amen. Even the Holy Spirit, and that, excuse me, I'm in the wrong, got to the wrong spot there. We'll get there in just a minute. Don't be discouraged. God's on his throne. He knows all things. And if we're truly born of the Spirit of God, everything is working for our good. And he's going to make everything right. He promised he would. He swore to it. And how thankful we are that he did. So God loves to test his children. And he's not testing them just putting them through, just so he can put them through a rough time and just whatever. There's a purpose for it. Everything God does has a purpose. We have to remember that. If he lets something come your way and you go through something, you just have to know, hey, God, there's a reason for this. Because I'm his child. I'm going to come out on top because he's promised it. This is something he's doing. And so he doesn't just put us through stuff just to give us a hard time. He's doing it to perfect us, bring us to a condition of perfection, and bringing us to the place of placing as sons and daughters of God, placing us into the authority And we recognize that. We quote all the time where Brother Branham, he tells us that, that if the church can get, if the bride can get a revelation of the two spirits within the framework of the church, and by God's Spirit withstand that Antichrist spirit, then she'll become an invincible army. So you understand from that quote that once she understands what's going on, she once she understands how Satan has come in and has tricked and subverted the church away from the word, once you understand that, then he won't be able to do that to us anymore. So then he gets no traction with us. So we quote that all the time, but when God is involved in our life and we're letting us go through things or causing us to go through things to mature us and bring us to the place of adoption, God must put us into the place where we come to that condition, where we do understand the two spirits within the framework of the church. Come to that place where now he can give us the authority to be like him, and we won't abuse it because we understand now. That's the whole concept there. And we must, I believe, we're living in that hour where those things are happening, bringing us to those points of perfection. And so it's like ordained in this hour that we would come to a place where we come face to face with the Antichrist spirit, with that movement of Antichrist. Face to face, like Eve did, when Brother Branham tells us in the sermon, The God of This Evil Age. I've quoted this many times, maybe read it, I'll read it this time, but Brother Branham says, we find now in this evil age, it is to prove to Satan she's not like Eve. That she's not that type of woman. Right. And she will be tried by his word. The bride, as Adam's bride, was tried by the word, and Adam's bride believed every bit of the word, all but confused on one promise, that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. See? But failed on one promise under the temptation of the enemy face to face. Right. And now the people that's called for his name, of course, is his bride, and she is to come in contact again by the same thing, not just denominational truth or something, but every word. So Brother Branham is telling us there that this church here at the end time, at this evil age, we come to a place where we're tested and tried, and we have to meet Satan like Eve met the serpent there, and she met him on the basis of the word, and she let down on the word, and he got control of the situation over her, that in this hour, God has a people that's ordained not to do that. She's ordained to come face to face with the devil, or with Antichrist spirit, to come face to face with it, but she's going to show and prove that she's not like Eve. In other words, she's not going to let down on the word. And Brother Ben is saying that now she's going to meet him. She's going to meet that test, that trial here at the end time. And she's not going to meet him just in her arsenal, having only just denominational teaching in her. He's not asking her to come against this thing at the end time with denominational teaching. But he's going to restore back to the church every word, thus saith the Lord, and then she's going to be tested. See? And to me, that'll be the greatest test that she has to go through. Because, you know, you've heard me say, how that, you know, that if you can just believe God's truth, he'll take care of everything. That's why we talk about how through the church ages, he never said, I have someone against you because you drink or you smoke or you cuss or whatever. What he had problem with them was they were letting false teaching come in. Because if you'll believe the right word, the blood of that word will cleanse you of all your failures and your sins. Right. But if you believe the wrong thing, there's no atonement in that. So you just got to believe the right thing, the revealed word that God is his word, his interpretation, and get in sync with that. And no matter what age you find yourself in, that will cleanse you, and you will have fellowship with God and with one another, and he'll cleanse you of all unrighteousness.
Right.
See? And so we just have to make sure that we're believing the right thing, and so God would reveal his word to us. And so this bride is tested here at the end. With thus saith the Lord, he has revealed, He's not going to put her out there to fight a battle that's not she's not equipped to fight. So you realize he's going to restore back to us the thing that was lost, so that now when we face this showdown like Eve had in the garden there, here we are now in Satan's Eden, and now she's going to come face to face again with the enemy, but this time she has the word of the Lord. She's not going to fail like Eve did. Amen? So that's what he's telling us there. And so we find that no matter what condition, we will be overcomers. And we come to maturity level to know and recognize the two spirits in the framework of the church and withstand it. So we come face to face with the Antichrist like Eve did. And let me read what Brother Branham says about this in the God of this evil age. I think I just read that. That's the same one I want to read. We just did. So we come face to face with Antichrist. Not literally, physically, you understand, but with the spirit, the movement of it, of what he's done throughout the church age. And so much of the church world believes that the Antichrist, oh yeah, he'll come sometime. Antichrist is going to come. We read in the scriptures there where John said that the Antichrist was already here in his day. Mm-hmm. Right? He said it all was already here in his day, there, working. And he said, you know, it is the last time. And you've heard that Antichrist would come, and even now it's already in the world. And therefore, you know it's the last time. And so that word time there, the way that I wrap my head around that is that the time is lauded out through dispensations. There's a chunk of time for like the Old Testament, or a chunk of time for renewed dispensations. That's why the scripture said in the dispensations of the fullness of time, after God has fully dispensed out all the different allotments of time, at seven ages and so forth, then he would gather together one in Christ. And so John is saying here, you've heard that Antichrist should come, and it's already here, and so that's how you know that we've reached the last chunk of time that God's going to allot. We've reached that place, and that's how you know is because the Antichrist spirit is here. So let me break that down just a little to you. And so we understand that the whole entire plan of redemption of God was he would have to come down through the ages, through types and shadows, until Christ could finally come and die for our sins. And through that atonement, then God himself could come and dwell into every heart that would receive him. And we realize that we're no good until we get the Holy Spirit in our lives. We're not even there until Christ comes and lives in us.
Right.
So the whole, might have been unfolding of a period of time for the law, and a period of time for the prophets, and a period of time for the judges and things. And what he's saying is that all these chunks of time, they're not finished until we finally get to the place where Christ has come in the flesh. The Holy Ghost has come into his people.
Right.
Not just that Christ did come, because people will tell you how Jesus came, but they'll deny that he comes in you. So the whole thing is we've got to get people to the place where they have the Holy Spirit in their lives. That Christ is present in, is come in the flesh. And then you've got a people. And so that's on track. And so John is saying here that, you know this is the last time, because when God poured out the Holy Spirit, then the Antichrist came too. So we'll break that down just a little bit more as we go just a little further. So he says it's the last time. That's how you know. He said, they went out from us. So you hear Brother Brown say, well, it's Cain was religious, and it's a religious movement. It's not just the devil that's living like whatever. It's a religious movement.
Right.
The Antichrist spirit is religious. And so John is telling us, and remember, John types the bride. So he got to know things that the rest of them didn't know. Right? He's over here at the end time and seeing things. And so he's saying this, and so him being a type of us, we come to the place where we understand this. We understand what the Antichrist spirit is. And so he said, they went out from us. So it wasn't just people out in the world, but it was a religious movement that left the word.
Right?
Because we believe that the apostles, the 12 apostles, you know, they established that early church was the real church of God, and it was a movement that was early on was among that. But then they went out from that. So in order for them to go out from that original church, that means that original church that was established on the word, that this was a movement that was religious, but it left the word. It went out at least some portion of the word, because it only takes one word pulling away from it that brought the whole death of the whole thing in the garden. And so they went out from us, and it simply, that as it had to all unfold, maybe years went by through the early church, and it finally came to a place where some people left out. And when they left out, that was just simply a manifestation of the fact that they really weren't part of it anyway. And so John just said that. They went out because they were not part of us. Because if they had been part of this word, they'd have stayed.
Yeah.
Right? They would have stayed. And everything, as we preach all these things, we say all this because we wanted to come down and you to recognize in your day how Satan's fighting you, how Satan fights others around you, and when you see things happening in the message, out of the message, that you can look at that and you can say, I understand exactly what that is. It's a repeat of what we saw in the Bible. It's a repeat of what Satan's has done all through the ages. I can see it now. I understand it. And it's not going to affect me because I can see what it is. That's bringing you to maturity. That's bringing you to the place where you're not falling for all the things that happened throughout the seven ages when Satan got in and deceived people.
Right.
Amen. So they went out from us. They left the word of God. And you realize that in the church, in Eden, early on in Genesis, when, you know, like Brother Branham quoting and showing through history, that history shows that they all show that at one time, everybody on the earth believed in one God.
Right?
And you read about it in Genesis. And at some point, a movement rose up and they began to leave that understanding that there is one God and begin to come up with multiple gods. What did they do? They left the word. They left truth. They left, and when you leave the word, you leave the presence of God. So that's why when the scripture said Cain, you knew who Cain was. He went out from the presence of the Lord.
Right.
I could say it this way. He went out from the word. He went out from God's instruction. God said, hey, if you just do this, you'll just do like your brother did. Just do this. Here's the word on the matter. Just do that. And if you stay here and do that, everything will be fine. But he left, he walked out, went out from the presence of God.
Right.
There it started right there, what we're talking about. They went out from us, but a religious people. Cain was religious. He made an offering.
Mm-hmm.
Right? He made an offering too. And his offering looked a lot better than Abel's did. Right?
Yep.
Sure did. That all that happened there when it went out, that became Babylon. Right there in Genesis. That became Babylon. And that was a type of mystery Babylon, which is today, the church world today. So it's with us. The mystery of Babylon isn't just the Catholic Church. And the Protestants too. There's more to it than that. That false movement and all its characteristics is out there, it's come down through history, and come down through every church, and that movement, that spirit, those tactics are still present today, and they're trying to work also in the message. Because every time God has something true going on, there's that false there trying to offset it. So we have to come to grips and say, well, praise God, we've got a glorious message, but not everything that calls itself message is message. That's why the scripture said, don't you believe every spirit, but you try those spirits. So let me just bring it down into your life for this day. Don't you just believe everything that somebody in the message says, but to try it. How do you try it? The only thing you can try it with is the word.
Right.
You cannot try it to see if they have miracles happening. You can't try it if they have tongues happening. You can't try it if they have theologians among them that know the Bible left and right. You can't try it that way. You have to try it to the word. Because you have to believe and realize that if they're part of the word, they'll stay with it. But if they're not part of the word, that word will make them go out. And that's today among our ranks. And I'll say that too, that when Satan wants to work in your life, he does. That Antichrist wants to work in your life. You fight it every day, whether you know it or not. God help me to bring some of this stuff out so you can see how that tries to work in you. But you have to understand and believe that if something's working in me, if he's trying to influence me to be involved or go do something or take something that's not right, if I'll stay in the presence of the word, that word will drive that evil influence out and it won't have an influence on me no more because I would become an invincible army against it. So if Satan wants to try to get you to follow after the traditions of man, oh, there's nothing wrong with it. You fight. If you'll stay in the word and keep focused on the word, that word will rise up in you and drive that influence away from you so you're not trying to act like the rest of the world. Amen. Right? Exactly. Because it's only the word that does it.
Right.
That's the only thing that can make it come to pass. And you overcome by it is by his word. Satan is a shrewd fellow. And so, coming to the place where we recognize this and bank on it. If I could just stay with this word, if they're not part of it, they're going to leave it. That spirit will leave me alone if I'll just stay for them. The scripture said, if you resist the devil steadfast, he'll flee from it.
Amen.
Right? Satan, as I said the other day, Satan is not allowed in that realm where God is. And you now sit in heavenly places. You don't have to let him come in and run over you.
Right.
You have the authority to cast him out. Believe that. Keep that. Remember that.
Right.
Amen. Brother M tells us, we know this, every revival has twins. Well, there was Cain. When Abel was on the scene, Cain was on the scene. Righteous and wicked.
Right.
When Jacob come on the scene, so did Esau. Totally opposite. Right? When Jesus came on the scene, there was a Judas there.
Mm-hmm.
Totally opposite. When the Holy Spirit fell on the church, now the Antichrist spirit can work. You really think about it. Prior to that, prior to the Holy Spirit being poured out in the church, God was dealing with the nation of Israel. It was a natural people, and the battles they fought was other natural nations fighting them out on the ground, fighting naturally. But once that second Exodus, as Brother Man tells us, once that happened where he brought a spiritual baptism on the people, a baptism of the Holy Spirit, well, now Satan was smart enough to know, wait a minute, I can't fight against this with physical armies like I've done through the Old Testament. It's a spiritual movement now. The Holy Ghost is now in the church, and so the only way I can fight that is if I come as a false spirit into the church. And that's what he did. That's how he began to fight. And also the fact that the gospel was to the Jews only, but then it went to the world. To all people. So now he has to not just fight with just one nation. He has to go out and fight. Would have to fight every nation. Well, what nation would you fight with if it was in, if the whole Antichrist was in all nations, you see? And so it's a spiritual battle that's going on there where Satan moved into. And that's how you know it's the last time. That's last sequence. And so there's twins. It's always twins. And as I said, they went out from us. You know, the scripture said the angels left not their first habitation. You imagine that? Angels in the presence of God. The place you and I long to be. You do, right? We love being in the presence of God.
Amen.
And they were there. They were created to be in that place. And that was their habitation. And yet Satan was so tricky and conniving that he convinced him to leave that condition and go believe a lie.
Right.
So he did that there. What would he do to you? If you don't stay with the word, he'd do the same thing, right? And so they left not their first habitation. And so Birdman had a lot of things to say about that. And so people who could rise up and maybe they feel an experience of God in their lives, but then they leave the Word. They leave that habitation of the presence of God and they go off. And next thing you know, they're like Babylon. When they left the Garden of Eden, they left where they all believed in one God and they started believing in multiple gods and multiple doctrines and different things like that. And once they left that keeping power of the Word, there ain't no telling where they go. They might become Methodist, Baptist, Catholic. They're just broad as the way that leads to destruction. And once you don't have keeping power, you don't know where you're going to wind up.
Right.
You might believe Jehovah's Witness doctrine. You might become a Buddhist or something like that.
Right?
Right? Once you leave, and that's why we have to stay with the Word, because if you walk away from that Word, you don't know where Satan's going to take you.
Right.
You do not know what he's got planned for you. God does. But you don't know. You got to stay behind the safety zone. And so, we don't want to leave our first habitation. We want to stay there in the presence of God. And one thing to remember there, as we said, well, there was a Cain and Abel, a Jacob and an Esau, and Jesus and Judas. The Antichrist spirit will persecute the righteous. The unrighteous persecute the righteous. Cain slew Abel, right? Judas betrayed Jesus. What does the Antichrist spirit do to the Holy Spirit? The betrayal. Oh, he was one of us. We dipped our hand in the sop together. We walked as brothers. You can see it in the life of David. My old familiar friend that dipped his hand, he's the one that has betrayed me. Also Judas. But you can understand, this greatest test that the bride comes through, it is not devils down the street that just, you know, it's deception.
Yeah.
Right? And so, because that makes it more powerful, that makes it harder to discern when it's like that. And so, there's persecuting there where that unrighteous will persecute the righteous. But no, nothing there about righteous persecuting unrighteous. That's not it. Christ did not persecute Judas.
Right?
Christians don't persecute other Christians, even if they're not, even if they're in some other organization, we don't persecute. Christ didn't, and if it's the Spirit of Christ in you, you won't either.
Right.
We can see that all the way under the fifth seal, when those were crying, Lord, how long are you not going to go back and avenge these people that did what they did to us? And Brother Ram showed there that, hey, that's the Jewish people that were martyred all along the way. They don't have, they're not a representative of Christ because they're asking for vengeance. As part of the revelation to understand who that is. That's not Christians. But that was a people who were persecuted for the Word of God, for the stand that they had, but they weren't Christians, because if they were Christians, they'd have the nature of Christ, who would say, Father, forgive them. So you realize that God wanted us to stop and ask ourselves, when you encounter things contrary to you, how do you feel about it? What is your prayer toward those that do you wrong? Are you vengeful? Because if you're vengeful, you know it's not Christ.
Yep.
See, and God is calling us to this. Why? Because this is the character of Christ that we're to come to at the end here. And so that persecution takes place there. But it was twins all through the ages. Brother Brown tells us in a sermon question and answer, he said, now if you notice, it's always been twins all along. There was Cain and Abel. They were twins. Esau and Jacob were twins. Jesus and Judas came out of the same tribe and the same church. Even the Holy Spirit and Antichrist is to be twins. So close that it would deceive the very elect if possible. Have you got it? So close that it would deceive the very elect if possible. We know it's not possible. Because if they're elect, it must be that the power that rules is over them, that has the ability to elect them, has said so, then how are you going to say they're not if they've been elected?
Yeah.
Right? I know you see that stuff going on out in the political world, but in the way it really is, when there is an elective election, they become elect, then they are, the determining voice has made it so.
Right.
Or you could not call them elect. And God's not going to call the people that's elect knowing they're going to fall. Because he don't work like that.
Right.
So, to be twins, they have to be very close in traits. That's the whole thing. That's the whole, every time we say, oh yeah, they had twins, they're going to have twins, you know, twin. And the whole idea is, oh, we're going to have two of them, and they're going to be, you know, there's traits, they're going to be a lot closer than maybe that other children will be that were siblings that weren't twins.
Right.
So you understand they're twins, that there's things, there's a lot about them, and we have all the way to the point of identical twins. I don't know, I guess I could look this up and see. If you have two people that are identical twins, if you check them genetically, do they both look the same genetically, or is there some differences? I don't know. Maybe over time there would be from genetic changes or whatever, but you understand if they're twins, well then man, you know they're family, you know they're close, you know that they're you know, and so wow, Jacob and Esau were brothers, they were twins, not just brothers, twins,
right.
And yet there was some differences about them,
mm-hmm.
And Jesus and Judas, and so they're twins. See, just a casual look at it, oh well, you know they're just. No, you have to look deeper. And once you look deeper, you'll understand, oh, yeah, they might look alike. They might act somewhat alike, but there is some differences.
Right.
And that's what God has ordained us to do in this last day, is to come to the place where we know, we recognize the difference. Right? That's what makes her an invincible army. When she recognizes that, and by God's Spirit does not let that other one affect her, that Antichrist spirit affect her, then she becomes to a place where Satan can't do anything with her. Listen, I want to be in that place.
Mm-hmm.
I really do. I want to be in the place where Satan knows he can't get anything over on me or you.
Right?
Right? And I believe God's bringing us to that place. Does and I'm going to say this. Let's just say that we've reached that point, and right now, from this day forward, Satan can never get one over on us. That doesn't mean he's not going to try.
Right.
He will try. It just means he gets no traction like he did before. Amen?
Right.
I want to come to that place. And I say this because I believe we have a message, and God is doing that right now. But we must take this message and believe it and live it and understand it. Adopt it, put it into place in our lives. Just say a need comes along, as Aunt Mary and I were talking earlier, just when a need comes along, and you just go in and you just take it to the Lord, and don't worry about it anymore. Just say, I have given it to him. I know that I have given it to him, and I'm going to believe that and trust it, and I'm not going to go worry about it. I'm just leaving it there with him, and you might go through the day, but Lord, it's yours. I've given it to you. Because he's faithful.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Twins. They look a lot like, looks like the real, but it's not the real. So how do you know? The only way you can know is by testing them by the word. The only way you can know is that you'll realize they've left the scriptures. They've left the word in order to be what they are. Isn't it interesting that so many different religions have to write their own Bible? You got to write your own book. I understand people have commentaries on the Bible. Okay, that's fine. As long as what they're saying in that book agrees with that Bible. But it doesn't so much of the time.
Right?
Right? But when it does agree with it, okay, it's a commentary. It can help you, maybe shine light on that, help you see things. But it has to stay with the Word, because the Word of God is the absolute. So they have to be twins, they have to have traits, and that makes it harder to discern when they act the same, but they're not the same. It makes it harder to see which one is which. That's the whole concept of these two spirits, the two trees, and their branches all intermingled together. You know, like the wheat and the tare. Let them grow together, because if you try to root up the tares, you might hurt some of the wheat.
Yeah.
Don't mess with it until the end time, at harvest time. At harvest time, it'll become clear what is what. And then you can preach sermons on it. Because God's going to show it to you. But until that time, God's not granted to the church through the seven church ages the ability to know what we're talking about. But here at the end time, now he grants a message to come forth. And now we can tell you, hey, that is part of the wrong tree. That's part of the wrong. Why? Because it's anti-word. How would you know it's anti-word if the word had never been restored to the church? But now that the word has been brought back to the church through a mighty prophetic ministry to show vindicated by God, well, now you know you have a standard you can look to. Then you can look and you can assess, hey, is this the word? Right? That's how you know. So God can never say, you gotta know if it's right or not if he never showed us what's right. But he has shown us what's right, just like he said he would do. He's given us the Holy Ghost, and he also sent us a fivefold ministry and had an Elijah ministry to come at the end. And the Holy Ghost in us sees all of that and says, amen, 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 and amen.
Right.
And says, yes, that's that prophet to come. And the Holy Spirit in me, which leads me and guides me, is telling me that's the truth. I can see it in the scriptures. You see how God leads his people. But he can never hold us responsible if he hadn't given us that truth. So now, if he has given us the truth, and now we're facing the enemy face to face, we've got something we can look to that's been revealed, that's been unfolded.
Right.
That will help us, because that's why God sent it. That's what will help us to overcome the enemy, is this revealed truth. Twins. You think the bride's not going to be tested like that? She will be tested like that. She'll be tested to all the way to the point of what is required for this day for her to be an overcomer. You can't, you know, you take a test in school. And I know we have A's, B's, C's, D's, F's. Got all this grading scale. Right? But with God, overcomers make 100%. I don't want that to sound, you know, you could, to help you understand what I'm trying to get at. God doesn't have a curve. He doesn't change the curve. Well, nobody made 100. The highest was only 93, so we'll make that 100, and that brings everybody else up. And, you know, because if you do that, you look out there and you look at the church world and say, well, nobody's making it, so we'll just let them be the standard. God don't do that.
Right.
You understand? God doesn't do that. His word is his standard, and he has a people who comes to that, and that's what they're graded to, is that word. That's the standard.
Right.
God doesn't change the curve. That's what man wants you to do. That's what denominations want you to do. That's what a lot of people in the message want you to do. But that word is the standard that God judges to. And so the bride, that's what's required. And so she's tested to that. And if she doesn't pass that test, she's not an overcomer. If she can't discern those two spirits in the framework of the church and overcome that, then she's not an overcomer yet in that. You see what I'm saying? So that's it. So God's going to bring her to that. There's no question about that. But she'll stay with his word, and that's what will do it. Amen. So I'm trying to get somewhere with all this. Get heavy here just in a moment. That's the very thing that this end time message, it's the very thing God sent a prophet for. Is to take us, and because prior to this, we had no clue. I was raised back in Pentecost. We had our own ideas, and I can tell you a lot of those things were wrong. Lots of it. Because God, you know, it takes the standard that God has revealed that we can now, it can be checked to and tested to. And God testified that it's real with that supernatural presence on it. So we know it's thus saith the Lord. Others will say it is, and other things are like that, but this is what had God's mark on it, that it is true, the sin of God. And so it's a restored truth. It is a restored truth. And so the very reason why God sent this today was to take us back and say, let me show you what Satan did. Let me show you how he went back here and made all these churches throughout the ages, made them harlots. Follow me? Because we didn't know. We didn't know, and the scripture said that God will bring this revelation at the end. And so we didn't know, and so now we do know. But that the whole purpose, and I'm, you know, just pray that I get through this point to get the point to you, that this is what God has brought us to the place to understand how Satan moves throughout the ages to bring the trickery and bring us to a church world that has no power with God, that they're just, you know, that he spews them out of his mouth. How did that happen? We didn't even know that it happened, but now we know it happened, and he's going back and he said, let me show you how it happened. Started right there in the garden. Just like Brother Brim said, the seventh seal is all through the Bible, so is the Antichrist. That trail of the serpent that Brother Brim was going to preach, talked about, started in the end, beginning, goes to the end through that trail. To show you, that has come all the way through the scriptures, all the way down, and we're staring at it right now, face to face. And what we're staring at is not Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian, what Satan's done there, but what Satan's trying to do in the message. Because that fight's still going on.
Right.
Amen? And so that's what Brother Branham sent us to what God sent Brother Branham to bring us to understand this. And so now that we understand it, then God says, okay, she needs to be tested for this. So we're going to test and see. And, you know, even like the test for her virginity, you know, like before they can be married, let's check and make sure she's not been touched. So let's just check and see, does she really understand the difference between Antichrist and Christ? Okay? Does she really understand it? So she has to be tested. So when this great test comes in this hour, what is God going to do? Is God going to raise up and say, okay, we're going to let the Catholic Church come up and come over and begin to influence the message and try and see if that Catholic doctrine can trick her and make her submit to it. Well, if Catholic tried to do that, we'd laugh at them. Right? Right? It has no power to come and deceive us. We know. Right? What about Methodist? Presbyterian? Baptist? Could any of those, could Satan use any of those to come and trick us? I'm talking about trick bride at the end time who's now been given the word and she's going to be tested face to face with that word against the very enemy himself like Eve was. You know, what's that temptation going to come and look like? Is it going to be a Baptist movement? You know where I'm going. No. It's a movement in the message. That's what it's going to be. But how do you know? Because it has to deviate from the word somewhere.
Right.
Has to start taking on the characteristics of that other spirit. And that other spirit now comes along and that other spirit will say, as we read in the scriptures, any spirit that confesses not that Christ has come in the flesh. Let me clarify that again. It did not say that Christ did come. Because most churches believe Christ came in the flesh. But what you've got to understand that Christ is come in the form of the Holy Ghost in his church, in his people. And if he's in there, he will lead them and guide them to all truth. And when the truth has been given in this hour, he will lead them to that truth. He won't lead them somewhere else. See? And so there's many, many churches and many systems will tell you, oh yeah, Christ and all that. But the end result of their doctrine, the end result of what the effect it has on people is they never get the Holy Spirit in their life. They never get to that place where the Word is birthed in their life. So it's Antichrist.
Right.
Anti-Word. Religious, bringing them to all kinds of this and that, do's and don'ts and all that, and never bring them to a place where there's a birth of the Word in them. So it's Antichrist. Ride them on message. Because in the message, we have do's and don'ts, and we have certain criteria, and we have, you know, dress apparel and all that. We have all these things that the Holy Spirit would lead us to express correctly, but then you got this, the carnal side who will try to bring people to the manifestation of those things without having the experience that produces it. And as what's happened all through the ages. All those churches, they have all these things that they try to create and bring and compliance and all that, and getting people to do it without that birth of that word. Because if that word is birthed in their life, they automatically will produce those things.
Right.
See? That's the difference. And so we have even movements in the message. Oh, this is the way it should be. And we have a generation of people who have been raised in the message, and they never had a birth of the word in their lives.
Right.
So these movements in the message that to be dogmatic and all you got to do all that and produce all these crowds to do all this stuff, but without the birth of the word, it's anti-word. I know that's a big, but it's why? Because it's anti-word. She is to be tested in that kind of environment. And you have to understand that evil side has always been much greater than in numbers than the righteous side. Always. So, being a bigger church and greater numbers, that's not it. That's not the litmus test to see whether or not it's of God. That's what it, if we're wrong, how is it? Why is it we have more miracles? We have more of this and we have more of that, more people and greater movements. We have all this, and so there's no way that could be wrong. Catholic Church can say that, right? Has nothing to do with that. The types and shadows show you that other side has many more children than this little old humble bride. Amen? You follow me? That's the numbers of it. And so she's to be tested to that. And it's not something outside that's going to come. That's why I've said for years, it's not Joe down the street. It's what's been among us that we have to be careful. And I'm not talking about people in our own assembly. I'm saying a movement out there that has a lot of boasting power, but yet can still be wrong.
Right.
Amen. So how close, the question is, how close is close enough to almost deceive God's very elect? What would it take? What would it take for Satan to do that it would be expressed in the presence of the bride and it would almost deceive that very elect, but not be able to, but almost? What would that look like? Well, it would carry a message banner. And it would have movements. It would have all kinds of great things going on. And it would have things to boast about. It had to say, "Well, this is why we're right." But if why they're right is contrary to the word, it's wrong. See, I'm just showing you this is what we're up against, right? That to understand that we must stay with the word. And when something rises up, I don't care what it looks like, how powerful, how wonderful, who it is, how many it is, it makes no difference. If it's anti-word, it's anti-word. And we are to be tested to that. We're to come to the place where we can recognize that thing. I know better. That's anti-word. I'm staying right here with this, with the scriptures. Amen. So that's what it would have to look like. So when you look out in the world and say, what's going on out there right now that would do this? Well, it's not what the Methodists are doing, not what the Baptists are doing. But it's a movement that can happen inside the message. And listen, there are plenty. We already know, and you've heard, especially in other countries, men that rise up and they have hordes of people, and you find out they're living ungodly, and they get this control over the people, and wives leave their husbands, and they get, you understand, all kinds of stuff. But it won't even look that bad. That it's to rise up to such a place where it looks so, because we would say, well, that's not God. We know better than that. But it comes to a level where it really tests the bride. Hey, do you really understand what it is that is Christ and what's not Christ? And so you look out there and you say, what's happening and what caused that now? You see, it's the word. That's it. That's the test. It's the word. It's not what a prophet, it's not so much what a prophet does, did, or does, or whatever, but it's the word. Maybe the word that came through the prophet. You'll find places in the Bible where a prophet, you know, Elijah, he ran and hid and wanted to die. Well, does that mean all of his converts need to do the same thing? No, it's the word that came to him that God is giving to the people. That's the thing that you look to. So it's not so much what the prophets did, but it's the word of the Lord that came to them. That's the major thing there. And so I say all this because I'm moving a little further. It's not what the prophet's children do. Because you can look in the scriptures and you can see, hey, Samuel's sons, they told Samuel, your sons don't live like you. We gotta have something here, and it ain't them.
Right.
Well, if you say, well, but it's man, and you know the nature of people, you know the way Satan works. There was a movement that said, hey, well, that's the prophet's children. We're gonna listen to what they say because Samuel is their dad. You know how people are. Well, we'll just listen to that. You could say, well, hey, this is the preacher's son. This is Eli's boys. But you know, in the scripture said Eli's sons, they would lay with women at the door of the tabernacle that would come and congregate there. They would lay with those women there. I was looking at that and reading, I'm like, how could that happen? Look at the audacity of that evil. The audacity that not just the Eli's, the high priest, priest's sons off out here in their homes or out there living ungodly, but at the door of the tabernacle they were doing it. Right? And you know, so I'm like, well, why were these women coming there and assembling there? There's probably some movement. So, hey, this is the priesthood. I mean, we're going to go down there and let them do what they want because this is the priesthood. You understand what I'm saying?
Right.
Satan gets into the details. And so you look at those things. It's not what the prophet's children do, and it's not what the preacher's children do. It's the word.
Right.
Amen. And when the prophet's children stay with the word, and when the preacher's children stay with the word, then let them, you can look at their lives and say, amen. But it's not, it is the word of the Lord that is what does it.
Okay.
Amen. So she's to be tested and recognize that. So why would God allow some of the things happen that he's had happen? Why would he do that? Because he's sovereign. And he knows what he's doing. So why would he let a movement rise up? But why would he let Judas rise up? Well, you could say, well, why? Well, because his word has to be fulfilled. Somebody has to fulfill it. So why would he allow something to rise up in the ranks of the message that would be so powerful that it would almost deceive? Well, because the word has to be fulfilled and she has to be tested. She has to be tested to know whether or not she sees the difference between Christ and Antichrist. She has to be, and somebody has to act that out. Somebody has to act out something that's so close but will be off the word.
Right?
So close. And so somebody has to act out something that they can boast great things, but still be off the word. They can say, well, it's a prophet's family, or it's the preacher's children, or it's this movement, it's that movement, and we've got this going on, and we've got that going on. But if their influence is to draw you away from the word, you know it's Antichrist.
Yeah.
Anti-word. I know it's powerful, and I'm not trying to say names about anybody. I'm just telling you, look at the spirit behind it. Okay? Look at the spirit behind those things. So why would God allow these things to happen? Well, because he's testing his bride. Will she know the difference? It's not supposed to be easy. We're talking about the bride of Christ coming to the place to marry the creator of all things. It's the test of the utmost because she's going to be in eternity. She is united with God. Eternal life. It's not to be easy. Get off, you know, change the curve of the grades and so, okay, yeah, she can be the bride now and live like devils and teach false word? No. She has to come to all that word.
Yeah.
to be that one who's going to live with him throughout eternity. Because she herself is the Word, and she cannot leave it. But anyone who's not part of it will leave somewhere, some way. And I say this, maybe we were familiar with people and say, well, why did they go? There's grace. They can come back. Maybe God has told them to do that. Just like David, that one guy was trying to spit on David. Is he leaving alone? Maybe God told him to do that. Because David needed to go through that type and that shadow had to happen so that Christ could go through the same thing later on. So that man had to stand there and do that to David. And David had to have the nature of Christ and say, leave him alone, let him go. Maybe God told him to do it. Maybe God is telling these people to do it. Why? Because somebody has to fulfill that part to be so close to it that it would be a great test for the bride. But she could recognize it and know that it's not real. It's not the true spirit. So that's why God would do it. So ask ourselves. I'm almost done. Ask ourselves, what is this that's influencing me? I hear Brother Branham, and I hope you do listen to Brother Branham, but I hear Prophet saying things, I hear Brother Tony saying things, I hear Brother Daniel saying things, and yet I have something that's influencing me to go and be and believe something that's not. So what is this that's influencing me? Where is it coming from? What's its identity? Why is it doing this? What is going to be the end result of this influence upon me? It's pulling me away from the Word. And I realize you can have ministry that's renegades. I understand that. But if you have a ministry that's faithful to you, faithful to the Word of God, and something's pulling you away to live differently than what they're telling you. And I'm not trying to force anybody. I'm saying, ask yourself about your experience that's trying to lead you away and lead you into something that you know the Word doesn't say. It's so deceptive. Amen. So, it's not supposed to be easy. And you know, we got times where we go through trials, and this is probably one of them too, that you're like, God, why don't you speak? Why don't you do something? Why are you letting this confusion rise up in the land? Why are you letting this happen inside the ranks of the message? Why don't you just deal with it? Think about it. Why don't you set the record straight? Well, we know he does eventually in the end, right? We know that. But you can say, why? And I'll say this. Because when you're going through a test, this is the last two things of great importance. When you're going through a test, the teacher is silent. The teacher is not speaking to you when you're under a test, because you're under a test. Right? But I'll say this, the teacher is in the room. Right? You understand? No matter how hard it gets, we know his hand is upon us. Amen? And so we realize that we should look inward and say, Lord, what is this trying to influence me? And when we see these things, what is your response to those things? How do we respond to it? So we realize she'll have his character. She loves him, and she loves his appearing. She has a birth of the Word. She loves that Word. Not so much the traditions and all the things that comes from it, but she knows him. That's why the prophet said, you're right, I don't know the Bible that well, but I do know the author. And that's the thing. Do you love the Word? Do you love his appearing? Amen? And so she's not going to persecute anyone, even if she disagrees with him. She's not going to say, unless you believe this, you're lost. Right? God says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay. Amen. See, when you have eternal life in you, you don't have to kill anybody to keep it. Think about it. When you have eternal life in you, you don't have to destroy and kill anybody to keep that. Right? Amen. So, we as the bride of Christ, we need to use our words and our actions wisely. Amen. And when we see things that rise up, and I don't care what it is. It might be somebody that you dipped your hand in the sock with, but if they turn against you, the character of Christ will say, Lord, forgive them. Amen. Because you know who you are. You know that you're following this word and you're not pulling away from it. You're staying with the scriptures. When the scripture said God has given a fivefold ministry, and that fivefold ministry is to be here until this church comes to the full measure of the stature of Christ. You understand, I show it as we grow taller and taller and taller. Here's Christ, and we grow up. And when we finally come to the same stature, we know that what it becomes, we become him, where he's one with us. And until we get to that place, there's a fivefold ministry here to perfect us, to preach until we get to that. And so to have a ministry come along and tell you that the fivefold ministry is not to be, it's anti-word. You understand? We're still here in this body. We haven't had any body change yet. So to have people tell you, and you'll understand, that's the trait of what it was all through the ages. Some man rise up and have authority over all these people. And Brother Bam talked about it in the New Testament, how, you know, in the Old Testament, it was priesthood going to their sons. It was a family thing that God had established. But in the New Testament, it's not like that. In the New Testament, it's God pouring out his spirit, and he gives his gifts to whoever he will, however he will, and he gives to some apostles, some prophets, pastors, evangelists, teachers. And so that's what he did, and so God would raise up different ones throughout all the church. And then you had the Catholic Church come along and say, well, we've got to have a district presbyter, we have a bishop, or we have to have somebody that's going to be over all these different churches. Some one man that say, well, I'm going to say what's here, and I'm going to say what's here, and they're all going to pay respect to me. And that's anti, right? So what if that rose up in the message? There's a lot of it out there. Lots of men that have control over, especially like in Mexico and other places in Africa, but we're not immune to it right here in America. One man rise up and begin to be a presbyter over many, many churches. The prophet made it clear that the pastor of the church, right, under the Holy Spirit, he's the highest authority. And he taught us. That's what I'm saying. God sent this so we could see what happened through the ages and not be partakers of it. And so when throughout the ages they come along and have some man rise up to begin to control many churches, and that's part of that anti-Christ system,
right?
If you see that rise up in our ranks, you know it's not right. Amen? You know it's not. Amen. So when those things happen, hey, what's our response? Lord, forgive them. Lord, help them. I pray that they understand the error of their ways.
Right.
Amen? Amen. And so we want to choose our words and our actions wisely. Amen. Let's let Brother Tim and the musicians come. I am so glad that God is in control.
Yeah.
And if we can just recognize that as he tests and tries, it is him. Hey, remember, he's in the room, right? We might be going through a test, and we may feel like that, God, why don't you answer? But you know he's in the room. Amen. Sometimes he seems like a silent God. Let's just bow our hearts. Lord, as we bow our hearts to you now, coming to the end of the service this morning, Lord, we're asking that this word would just go down into the hearts of your children, deep, fertile ground. Lord, that it would just bring forth fruit. Lord, I know that sometimes we speak on things that is uncomfortable. Lord, it's uncomfortable for us as ministers also. But Lord, we feel that these truths need to be shared and to spread into the hearts of your children, Lord, so they can recognize that these things that go on in our day, and they're not anything new. It's something Satan has done all along. And Lord, you have instructed us so we can understand and know how to recognize it. How to withstand it with thy spirit, not with an interpretation of us, of ours, according to the word, but what you have vindicated. We saw it in you. We saw it in your prophet, Lord. The spirit to forgive those who have erred against you. I pray, God, that you would just help us grow to that same stature. We love you. Bless these things in Jesus' name.
Far away from you.
knows that our God reigns. Amen. We're all of these things. We're going to sing this.